All right, new record, 8:59 a.m., and we are going to go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see you here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church. Would you please stand as we sing Victory in Jesus? Sound all right, don't you? I think you sound good. Y'all definitely sound good. Hey, while you're up, I want to do one thing and say I am so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming to church today. You had probably a lot of options as to how you could spend your morning. Appreciate you being here. Here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church, we're trying to figure out, working together, how to do a whopping two things. How to love God and how to love others. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to love others right now. Go tell somebody good morning, would you?
Good morning.
all may have a seat. Just to let you know how important fellowship is, we're going to invite you to continue all those conversations you had at a loud roar over here in Fellowship Hall after church, that you'll continue to visit with folks and get to dig in a little bit deeper with folks. Best free breakfast in town, right through those doors as soon as church is over. And for y'all, good morning. It's really good to see you. And this morning in Sunday school class, you are going to be talking about what is your purpose? What on earth are you here for? Oh, yes. I hadn't asked a question yet, but I'm curious to hear the answer now. I'm really curious. Let me have it. Come on, let me have it. It's a good thing you're going to Sunday school. They'll help you remember your answer. I haven't asked a question, actually. It was really cool that you guys had answers, and I hadn't asked any questions yet. Just for fun, what's the answer? Well, what we're going to say here, you have an answer to the question I haven't asked also, Leo? Let me have it. Okay, patience. Yes, ma'am. Our purpose is what God set for us. Yes, which still doesn't get us to what is, but what would you like to say? This will be the last one. God made us so that we can help the world and the world will be a better place. Yes, I agree that that's part of it. That's not the number one thing. Your number one purpose on this planet is that you would receive God's love. That's it. It's the number one thing. You don't have to do anything. The number one thing is not to obey rules or do this or do that. It's just to let God love you. So, without any further delay, you get to go learn about that. You're going to have a great time this morning. Have an awesome morning. We'll see you guys at breakfast, all right? Choir?
happy our Miss Pat is here and wonderful. Just as wonderful.
Great to have Pat back. You were missed. Now, right before the finish, who hit the? That was amazing. Oh my goodness. Wasn't that great? That was some reach up in that head voice. Woo! Love it. Hey, you can bring in a ringer anytime you want. Call to worship from Psalm 24. I'll invite you to read responsively. I'll read the first part. You read the response. You know the drill. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. He is the King of glory. And we will give him our honor and praise this morning. Not just the King, but a King who in his very character and essence is grace and mercy. And I encourage you and invite you to join me in the unison prayer of confession as we pray together, which will be followed by a quiet time of prayer when you on your own are welcome to go before the Lord. But let us pray together. O King of glory, we confess that our praise of your majesty has often been faint. Our performance as citizens of your kingdom treasonous. For we have surrendered to the enemy by our secret and known sins. For our treason you died, Lord Jesus. For our restoration you rose again. Draw us closer to you this week, that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears, and our hearts the wonder of your grace. By the Holy Spirit's continuing discipline, let us be loyal and loving servants of the King. Praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear now the pardon of the gospel. Let these words of truth assure you of God's grace. From John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Good news of the gospel. God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. True. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. You may be seated. Did I say good morning? I want to say good morning again. Welcome to part two of What on Earth Am I Here For? And you heard the Reader's Digest version during the children's time. Why on earth you are here. And also, this is fun. This is a fun thing that Matt has been doing, but there's been a little bit of traction with some of our people. We want to say, in fact, would you just clap and tell all the people that are going to watch on the internet, good morning? Thanks for joining us. Well, to understand your life's purpose, to understand your life's calling, you have to begin with God because, well, who created you? God. You can't tell yourself what your purpose is. Only our Creator can tell us what our purpose is. So your purpose, your calling in life actually begins with the nature of God. And you know this, if we were to take the whole Bible and just boil it down to three words, those three words would be God is love. We've talked about this just a time or two in our time together. That God doesn't just have love, God doesn't just show love, but God is love. Love is the nature, the character, the very essence of God. In fact, the only reason that you're able to love, the only reason you're able to give and receive love is because God, who is a God of love, made you in his image. Ants can't love. Snails can't love. You might argue with me, but I would say cows can't love. But human beings love because we are made in the image of God. Now, the Bible says that everything in all the universe was created so that God could love it. God has never made anything he doesn't love. God has never made anything that he doesn't love. You fall fully into that sentence. Every rock, tree, plant, animal, every human being, God has never made anything he doesn't love. So if you are alive and here or here today, that means that God loves you. And you were created as an object of God's love. I want to turn your attention to the outline that you've got. This is a big outline. And Doreen really did a fantastic job putting this thing together. Because we want to encourage you not only to take notes, but to bring the notes with you to your small group this week. And you're able to take this. So there's some fill-in-the-blank stuff. And there's a chance that if you raise your hand and you go, I'm sorry, I didn't get that last one. Dustin, it'd probably be better if you asked your neighbor what they wrote. And then on the back, for your own notes, for your own questions, for your small group, anything that jogs your memory, put that on there. But at the very top of the outline, and maybe on the screen, did I get this to you, Matt? The scripture? It's in the bulletin. It's in the bulletin, and it's in your notes. I did something. I know I did something. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Did you catch that? Before God even created the universe, he had already chosen you and loved you. He made the universe so that he could make earth, so that he could make humanity, so that he could make you, so that he could love you. If God hadn't wanted to love you, all the other stuff wouldn't have happened. It says, before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been, from the very beginning of time, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him, what does it say in your outline? Great pleasure. I got an extra one. Check this out. This is amazing. Isn't that fun? Just in case you want to follow along. There are benefits to coming late, right? So in this series that we're gonna run right up until Palm Sunday and Easter, we're going to look at the five callings of God. And the word calling is used far more than purpose in the Bible. When we look at God's calling on your life, we're talking about God's assignment, God's reason for creating you. The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God. The first reason you were made is to be loved by God. God made you in order to love you. And if you're someone that likes to keep a tally of some of the certain words I say, if you were going to keep a tally on how many times love gets said today, you're going to need two pencils. But let it sink in just a little bit. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. No, the first purpose of your life is to let God love you. I was made to be the receiver of God's love. There are other things that are important, and feel free to argue with me, but I say that your first duty in life is not to do something. It's not to learn. It's not to listen, it's not to pray, it's not to give money, it's not to sacrifice, it's not to serve. Those are all good things, but they're not the first primary thing that God created you to do. He created you to accept and receive his love, to just let God love you. That's your first purpose, to be loved by God. If the first purpose of my life is to be loved by God, that is your first fill in the blank. I don't know that I'll point them all out to you. But the next fill in, my first calling is this. I'm called to enjoy a relationship with God. My purpose is to let God love me. My calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. What I'm saying this morning, and I'm wanting to do a good job because this is foundational. The number one calling in your life is not a role. It's not a job. It's not a responsibility. It's not a bunch of rules or regulations. It's not a ritual. It's not religion. It's two, we are called to be in relationship. This is going to surprise some of you, and this would be a good conversation for your small group guys this week. Christianity is not really a religion. I was checking the body language. People try to make it a religion. People try to make it about rules and regulations and rituals. But that's really not what it's about. Jesus said it's about a relationship. God sent Jesus so you could have a relationship. Not a religion, but a relationship with God. God is love, and he wants you to learn to experience this. Well, what kind of relationship does God want you to have? Does he want you to be a slave? No. Does he want you to be his soldier and fight all his battles for right and wrong in the world? Some of you go, yeah, that's why I got social media. No. Does God want you to be his employee? No. Does God want you to be his minion? No. God wants you to be his daughter, his son. God wants you in his family. Romans 1:7. Dear friends in Rome, this is Paul writing the book of Romans, God loves you dearly. and he has called you to be his very own people. Your first purpose is to be loved by God. Your first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. It ought to be, it very well could be, the most amazing truth that you will ever hear in your life. The King of Kings, in our call to worship, we said the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe, does not want you to be his slave, his soldier, his minion, but instead his son and his daughter, his child. God wants a family to love, and he wants you to be in that family. 1 John chapter 3. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. Your number one purpose in life is not to accomplish something. Your number one purpose in life is not to make something of yourself. Your number one purpose in life is not to make a lot of money or be famous or have a lot of fun. Your number one purpose in life, God created you and called you to be loved by him to experience that. And I wonder that most people have never truly experienced the love of God. They've heard about it. Most folks here this morning would say, yeah, I know God loves me. The very fact that you're bored by it means that you have not experienced it. You've heard it in your head, but it hasn't yet made it down to your heart. And you don't want to miss experiencing God by 18 inches. If you got it here, you also got to get it here. He says we're named and called and counted the children of God. Why in the world would God do that? In order to express his love. He loves you on your good days. And he loves you on your bad days. Loves you when you feel it, and he loves you when you don't feel it. He loves you when you think you deserve it, and he loves you when you don't think you deserve it. You can't stop God from loving you. God will never love you any more than he does this very second, and God will never love you any less than he does this second. Because God's love is not based on who you are or what you do. It's based on who God is. And God is love. We're still on page one, and this is the bottom scripture for those of you who are following along. In Ephesians 3, the Bible says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Trying to understand God's love, all of it, would be, I've already poked fun at ants. I'm going to do it again. It would be like an ant trying to understand the internet. Your brain, for sure, my brain, does not have the capacity to understand all of God's love and how much God loves me. But the Bible says that part of your calling is to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love for you is. How wide is God's love? We're going to turn the page on the outline. It's page 2. I said I wasn't going to spoon feed you, and here I am spoon feeding you. I think this is helpful. If you think this is helpful, give some feedback. Maybe, you know, reach out, let Doreen know that you appreciate that, or let me know that you appreciate that if it helps you. And again, this is something you're able to take to your small group Bible study, whether it's the Wednesday morning coffee with the pastor, or the Wednesday night with Chuck and Dee, or Thursday at Dane's, or Thursday at Lolly's. And in fact, if none of those work for you, let me know. We'll start another one this week. But take this with you for the discussion that I'll have. God's love is wide enough, this is a fill in the blank, to be everywhere. That's how wide it is. There's no place on this planet that God's love is not. There's no place in the universe that God's love ends. It's in the bar where all the people are drunk. Maybe not all of them. It's in the red light district where people are being sold. It's in the place of the poorest of the poor. There's no place where God's love is not. And you say, I don't know if I believe that. I don't see it there. Well, just because you don't see something, does that you get to determine what's real? There are lots of things that you can't see that are real, right? They're real. They're reality. You can't see them. For instance, right now, traveling through the air, radio waves, television waves, the internet connection from the church office, it's all going through here. Can you see it? Are those real things? So it is possible that there are things that are real that you cannot see. We can't see God, but he's here. He's here. If you tune in, just like you would for the radio, the TV, or the internet, you will experience him. If you get on God's wavelength, you will experience his love. You will know that he is as real as any of us standing here today. But you've got to tune in. And just because you can't feel him and see him doesn't mean that he's not there. There's a lot of stuff you can't see. You cannot see an atom, but everything in life is composed of atoms. So how wide is God's love? What it means is there's no place that you can go where God is not. And although you may feel lonely and you may feel alone, you will never, ever, ever truly be alone. 2, God's love is long enough to last forever. It's another fill-in. God's love is long enough to last forever, which makes it different than human love, because human love wears out. Has your love ever worn out for somebody? At least been pushed right to that edge? Has anyone ever said to you, perhaps, you are on my last nerve? There are days when I think that Ginger thinks that's my middle name. It's not true. Human love wears out, right? That's why we have divorces. That's why we have breakups. That's why we have conflict. That's why we have people in families estranged from each other that are not reconciled. Human love sometimes wears out, but God's love never wears out. God will never, ever stop loving you. Even if you chose to stop loving God, God still loves you. Because God's love is forever, eternal. He made you to love you. How deep? God's love is deep enough to handle anything. No matter what pain you're going through. No matter what problems you're going through. No matter what hurt you are going through. God's love is deeper still. God's love goes deeper than your problem. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper. Deep enough to handle anything. How about height? God's love is high enough to overlook my sins, to overlook my faults, to overlook my mistakes. Because of Jesus on the cross, Miss Bonnie, God is able to overlook my faults, my failures, my sin, my rebellion. And God offers forgiveness through the cross because of his love. He offers you this fresh change to start over. What do you think it would be like if you felt God's love unconditionally in your life always? If you were aware of God's love all the time, how would that change your life? I want to give you 5 ways, and they're even numbered in your outline. Number 1, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. And that will change your life. Most people go through their entire life avoiding God. And the reason they avoid God is because they feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel bad. They feel judged. They feel criticized. They think, God is a perfect God, but I'm not so perfect. Why in the world would I want to hang out with a perfect God who's simply going to remind me of all the ways that I've failed? Well, because that's not what God does. Jesus says, and this was our pardon, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. John 3:17. The Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. By faith, this is Romans 5:1, it's in your outline. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. This is important. This is important because it sets you free from the addiction that you have to approval. Maybe, probably, you've spent a good chunk of your life trying to gain the approval of other people. And maybe everything you do is determined to get other people's acceptance or approval. You dress the way that you do in order to get other people's approval. I dress sometimes on a Sunday in order to get your approval. Told you there was a reason. You talk the way you do in order to get people's acceptance or approval. You do certain things in life. Some things you wouldn't want to do, but you do them because you want the approval of others. And you've become addicted to their approval. And you've been trying to gain approval from some unpleasable people in your life. And here, if I can give you the cliff notes on that, you're never going to get it. But when you know that God loves you, criticism doesn't bother you anymore. If God loves me, and I like me, and you don't like me, y'all, that ain't my problem. That's your problem. Here and there, over the years, this may be surprising to you. It may not be surprising. I've gotten some criticism here and there. On a thing or two. And you say, well, Dustin, how do you handle criticism? Here's how. I don't care. I know God loves me unconditionally. So what's your problem? I don't need your approval. I don't need it. Whether you like me or not is totally irrelevant to my happiness. Whether you like me or not is probably connected to your happiness. It's not going to affect me because I'm not looking for your love. I'm looking to receive love from God. When you look to receive love from God, criticism won't bother you. Romans 8. If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, and he has, can anybody bring charges against him? No, indeed, is what it says. It's even underlined. No, indeed. It's a big one. Friends, it will set you free. Number two, I have boldness in bringing my needs to God. I'm bold in my prayers. Why? Because I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You are a child of God. I'm a member of the family. My offspring are still just, my kids are just barely young enough. Any day now, it could flip. That they will come to me and ask me anything and tell me what they need. They assume that I have it all, have the ability, and have the answers. Dad, can you fix this? It's not really asking, are you able to fix it? It's, I know you can fix it, Dad. Can you do it right now? They think I can do it all. Now, you know that's not true. I know that's not true. But with God, it absolutely is true. Romans 8 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be cowering like fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. The word in the original language, anybody? Swedish rock group? See, I knew if I gave you a hint, you would get it. Abba is the word in the Middle East for anybody? Daddy. Papa. Daddy. The Bible says that when you come to God in prayer, you come to him as you say, Daddy. Dear Daddy. If one of my children came to me when they needed something and said something like this, O thou most gracious and merciful progenitor of the Sedlak family, thou'st wonderful observer and keeper of all of the family funds. You know what I would say? What? No. When they need something, they don't come and use big words that I don't understand. They say, Dad, I want ice cream, please. Maybe there's a please, but usually with ice cream, there's a please. Real straightforward. Very bold. Dad, I need mint chip ice cream. Right? The Bible says that you can come to God saying, Daddy, I really would like some ice cream. It might not be ice cream for you, but whatever that bold thing is, that it can be bold, straightforward. Since we are his children, we will share in his treasures. In other words, I'm a son of God. I get the family inheritance. You are a daughter of God. You get the family inheritance. We will share in his treasures, for everything God gives to his son Christ is ours too. Romans 8:14. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I am bold in praying my needs to my Abba, Father, Daddy. And number three, I have peace that I do not understand. If we really wanted to dig in, I could say, I have peace during pain that I don't understand. And I'd like to say this up front. God does not owe you or me an explanation for why things happen. Right? Not everything that happens in this world is God's doing. God hates evil. Do you know that? God hates evil. There is a lot of evil done in the world. God could easily take away evil, take away your freedom and everyone's freedom to do evil. He could easily get rid of all the suffering by taking away your choice and my choice and to turn us into puppets. But God desires for us to voluntarily love him. So he puts up with the pain and the evil in order to give us free hearts. You're going to go through life, and a lot of things in life you're not going to understand, but you don't have to understand everything to be at peace. In fact, an explanation doesn't always give you peace anyway. When somebody you love dies, if someone gave you an explanation for it, would that take away the pain? You'd still have the loss. Explanation doesn't comfort. What you need is not an explanation. You desire presence, the presence of God in your life. The Bible calls this the peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What is this peace that is beyond understanding? It's when you feel at peace even though you don't understand what's going on. You have no reason, no explanation. You don't know why it's happening, but you're still at peace. It is the supernatural presence of God in your life. God's love does not exempt you from pain or suffering in this life. Christians have the exact same problems that non-Christians do. The difference for the follower of Christ is they get the peace that passes understanding, where I can trust God in a moment when things seem to be falling apart. There's this promise in the Bible, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called, there's that word again, according to his purpose. Calling and purpose, they go together. When we live the calling, when we live out our purpose, when we let God love us, when we love God back, we know, we trust that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him. The fourth thing that happens when I know I'm totally loved by God is I gain courage to take risks. When somebody believes in you, you are capable of accomplishing almost anything, right? That you couldn't do on your own. Just because you know that somebody believes in you, it gives you this additional boost, additional energy. Do you have dreams that have gone unfulfilled in your life because you have been scared to go after them? What if I fail? Well, you're going to die with unfulfilled dreams unless you dial into the love of God. You let him give you that confidence that comes from believing in you. Even if you're old, and some of you are, it's not too late. I don't care how old you are. It's not too late to start over. It's not too late to start today. No matter what our age is, we've seen too many examples of how fragile life is. We think we get tomorrow. It's a bet. It's a gamble. It's not too late to start over. You can start over right now. And for some, God has been waiting for this moment for your entire life. He's been waiting for this moment where you would get just a little inkling of how much he loves you. This is your moment. This could be your breakthrough moment, the moment where you let go of the fear. The Bible says there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. It's that same Greek word, Simon, about throwing the cast net. Perfect love casts out all fear. You got your whole body, there it goes. This could be your moment. When love comes in the front door of your life, fear goes out the back. How do I become a son of God? How do I become a daughter? How do I become a child of God? The Bible says in John 1:12, to all who believed him and accepted him, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I still have one more point. I know that. He's praying in the middle of the sermon? I know. But at least I wore a suit to do it. And if this prayer is something that resonates with you, well, I would invite you in that posture and attitude of prayer inside to go, yeah, yes, yes, Abba, yes, Daddy, yes, Papa, yes, God, me too. Dear God, I'm amazed at how much you love me. Thank you that your love for me is wide enough to be everywhere. Thank you that your love for me is long enough to last forever. Thank you that your love for me is deep enough to handle all my problems. Thank you, God, that your love is high enough to overlook all my sins, all my mistakes because of Jesus. God, I want to feel accepted and not ashamed. I want to be bold in telling you my needs. And I need that peace that passes understanding. I need your love to give me the courage to take risks, to go after my dream. Jesus, as best as I know how, I surrender to you. I want to learn to love you back because you love me so much. Amen. The fifth thing that happens when you understand the love of God in your life, and this is clever, I worship instead of worry. What is worship? Worship is simply expressing my love to God. Have in your heart or your mouth you ever said, thank you, God? That's worship. You can worship in a small group. You can worship in a church. You can worship with the windows rolled up or the windows rolled down in your car. Anytime you express love to God, you are worshiping. We love because he first loved us. Remember, your problem is not that you don't love God. Your problem is you don't understand how much God loves you. How do you know when you're not feeling God's love? Simple. You worry. When you worry in that moment, you have forgotten how much God loves you. Worrying is acting like an atheist. Worry is pretending you're an orphan. Worry is saying, I've forgotten. I have an Abba, Father, Daddy, who loves me, wants what is best for me, and created me, and is watching over me. So choose worship over worry. You're either going to panic or pray for the rest of your life. You're either going to worry or worship. You're going to look at your problems or you're going to look at God. And that promise right here is why we're doing this series. The next 4 weeks that we do, the next 4 callings, don't matter if you don't get this one, because they all flow not out of duty, not out of guilt, not out of pressure, but they flow from God loving you and you receiving that love. Amen and amen. At this time, I'd like to call forth our ushers for this morning's offering. Thank you. Gracious God, we thank you for all that you do for us. Would you help us to receive your love more and more? And would you help us to shine that out as we go from this place? We give to you our bodies, our lives, and this offering. Would it all be used to honor you, to glorify you? This is our prayer. Amen. Amen. You can stay seated because I was going to skip the last song, but since Charlie just got here, I feel like we should give him a church experience. And this is one we haven't done for, I don't even know if we've done it since you've been coming, Charlie. So it's not "How Great Is Our God." How about that? Oh, Roy, could we borrow that microphone? Could Lolly borrow that microphone, please? I'd like to invite you to stand.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. As I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee.
Just a closer walk.
Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus is my just closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus is my just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Daily walking, daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, dear Lord. Let it be, let it be, let it be, dear Lord.
Oh, that was good. Take a deep breath.
Let it be.
Want to sit for the announcements?
Okay, are we on? Okay, a reminder, our directory. We're moving closer to the dates for the pictures. They are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, April 4, 5, 6. A couple of things. Be sure you have filled out one of these personal information sheets. If you haven't, I think there are some extras on the table. Also, if you can't be here that one of those days to get your picture made, there are some cards with phone numbers. You can get your picture made before you leave town or whatever. I even know one person who's going to get her picture made in Michigan because this is all put together electronically. They can put it into our file as if she were here. So if you can't be here, there are other ways you can get your picture made. The other thing, and here's my worst fear, we're going to leave somebody out. And I don't, you know, we love God. We love others. After this is over with, I want you to love me too. So I don't want to miss anybody. Now, because of that, I have made extra copies of what the registration sheets are up to date. They are on the table. Check those registration sheets. Verify that you are on there, that the times that you are on there are the correct times, because I don't want anyone to miss getting their picture made. I know the off-site pictures are working because Jeannie Smith gave me her copy this morning. That she went off-site, had her picture made. Here's the verification that that process does work. I just want to be sure that we're covering everything we can cover. Doreen and I either have an email exchange with the LifeTouch people each week, or we have a phone call. We want to be sure that we're on time. I thank you very much for all of your cooperation. I just want to be sure that we're covering all the points. Thank you very much.
Just a little bit of advice. Do what Roy tells you. You would like him on your good side, and you would like even more to have a directory that you can go, oh, that's who that is. Right? It's gonna be good. Can we try something? We put all of the announcements in the bulletin, and I think that most of you have the ability, yes, to read. So would you take a couple minutes, take it with you, take your sermon notes with you, take the announcements with you. The only one that I would highlight is maybe simply that, because it's not in the bulletin, Easter's coming. People who don't go to church much of the time think around Easter and Christmas, huh, wonder if I should go to church. If people are thinking, huh, wonder if I should go to church, the only answer they really need is, where? And how will they know to come here unless we invite them? So you got a neighbor on your left, maybe you got a neighbor on your right, bring them. We're going to do the Easter egg hunt and a big outreach the Saturday before Easter. The Saturday before is April 20th. Easter is April 21st. Bring somebody with you. Would you please stand for the benediction? Thank you, thank you, and thank you for being here this morning. You honor us with your presence. If you are a guest this morning and have not yet said welcome, hey, welcome. The hardest part is over. Now we're just going to eat. So please join us through the double doors for a great breakfast and getting to know one another. As you leave this place, I would simply tell you this message yet again, because it is still true. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has purpose in putting you there. And the purpose is this. Christ, who lives inside of you, has something that he wants to do in you, with you, and through you. So believe this. Go from this place certain and assured of God's grace, God's love, and God's power. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Lord bless y'all real good. Amen. Amen. See you next week.
Strong.